I want to greet you in Christ's name this morning. Going back there to Psalm 147, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And if you look in that, going into the next couple verses there, just want to, I like the contrast. In verse 4 it says, He telleth the number of stars, He calleth them by their name. Great is the Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite. That is the God that we serve. His understanding is infinite. Do you mean God doesn't miss anything? Do you mean God understands your heart? You mean God understands exactly what you've faced this past week, this past year? And I want you just to think with me for a moment. Think of your life as a simple piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, you have a lot of marks. You have a lot of smudges. And those marks on that paper simply represent your failures. They represent the hurts, they represent the pain that you've gone through, they represent the filth that's been in your life. And God, as we've come into a new year, I want you to think about, just for a second, God can take that dirty piece of paper and He can clean it up. He can erase it, and He can take the smudges off, and He can give you a new beginning. That is the kind of God we serve. It's a God that wants to reconcile us unto Himself. He wants to reconcile our relationships. And the title of the message here is Discovering Healing Through Forgiveness. Some of you may follow a little bit more what I'm sharing here than what others will. Some of us have come from different paths. And one thing I want to make very clear this morning. When God cleanses us, when He cleanses us from our past, whatever it is, whether it was a sinful past, whether it was a lot of pain, whether it was a lot of heartache in your past, when God cleanses you, I don't intend to pull that garbage back up. Because when that is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's covered. And you're free, you're set free. But we're human, and so things happen. Relationships break down. Things happen in our lives, and we sometimes believe lies. And that's simply what we want to look at this morning, is how to find healing through forgiveness. And then we want to look a little bit into the love of God and how great He is. I have a number of different questions here. I'm not going to ask you to answer them more than just answer them to yourselves. How many of you have felt the pain of rejection or the pain and hurt that comes from past experiences that were completely out of your control, or simply hurt because you are reaping the consequences of bad choices? Now, when I say that, I recognize also that many of us have been spared from a lot of bad choices. Yes, we still make bad choices, but as we follow Christ, as we have that foundation of Christ in our life, we have been spared many, many bad choices. You have felt that you will never amount to anything. Maybe somebody has told you that. You're not going to make anything of yourself. You're just no good. You have come to believe that you are no good. You hurt so deeply that you have put up walls to keep from getting hurt. And that's something we often do too quickly, is when somebody hurts us and somebody says something negative, we so quickly can erect a wall to try to separate ourselves from that person. You may even have lost hope of experiencing healing. As we look into our past, we need to be able to identify what is truth and what is a lie. Here are some of the lies that we tend to believe these about ourselves. I'm worthless. I will never amount to anything. I'm the only one in this situation. That's one that the devil wants to use over and over again to make us feel like we are alone. No one will understand what I'm going through. I can't do anything about it. I've gone too far. No one cares, and I'm alone. Those are simple lies from the devil. When we hurt, or when we are hurting, we tend to hurt others. We often hurt others. We often go to the wrong places and do the wrong things in order to find acceptance. We often treat the symptoms instead of the root problem. Many spend their whole life discouraged, bitter, and broken. And that is what we see in the world around us. And sometimes we see it even within the walls of the church. Discouragement, bitterness, and broken. And when I'm talking about broken, I talked about broken men this morning. This is a different kind of broken. God wants us to be broken before Him, to where He can mold us and shape us. But the brokenness I'm talking about here is where we just basically give up. Our past often shapes our view of God. God is so much greater than the hurts, the pain, the situations that we find ourselves in. Rebellion against God and our authorities is often rooted in the deepest pain and past hurts. We tend to rebel and become angry because we don't really know if anyone really cares. We at times go as far as to reject God's love because we don't know how to deal with our past. How do you and I find healing? How do we do that? The only way to find true healing is to forgive the one that hurts you through forgiveness. And let's look at a passage here, Ephesians 4, starting at verse 30 through 32. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And let's look at 31. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted," doing what? "Forgiving one another." How? "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." If we want to understand what true forgiveness is, let's look at the one who has forgiven us. The example that Jesus Christ, "even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Is that how I forgive my brothers? The ironic thing is that true forgiveness is not concerned about feeling healed. True forgiveness is not concerned about feeling healed. That's kind of a selfish view, I guess. True forgiveness is about being reconciled with who? The one that offended. And we're going to read some scripture here soon that ties into that. Forgiveness isn't about denying there was hurt, but about canceling the debt. Sometimes we want to think, well, I can handle it. And it's easy to deny. No, you didn't hurt me. But when I'm not talking to you, then I talk to somebody else about what has happened. This is what true forgiveness looks like. "Even though you hurt me, you owe me nothing. I'm not going to hold you accountable for my pain. I won't excuse my actions as being a result of the pain you caused me. You are free. You never have to see how bad you hurt me. I release the drive to make you hurt as bad as you hurt me. Even if you don't apologize, I will pursue relationship with you. The debt is canceled and you are free." Is that forgiveness? Is that easy to do? And sometimes we look at that and we recoil and say, no. How can I forgive? How can I let go? How can I say the debt is canceled? Even if you don't experience the pain of what I've had to go through, can we forgive like that? Forgiveness means that we voluntarily accept the consequences of past broken relationships, but do not let that stand in the way of future relationships. Our past often shapes how we live life in the future. We look at past experiences and we tend to build walls. We tend to keep people at arm's length because of what they've done to us. But that's not true forgiveness. When we accept the pain of our past, it is then that we cry with Jesus as he did on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's a true picture of forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus says here in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Look at what 15 says. "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." Do you mean that I can't be forgiven if I don't forgive? Yes, that's what Jesus says. If you want forgiveness, then you will extend a hand of forgiveness. Is it possible that I am the exception? Maybe God doesn't understand what I've gone through. Is that possible? Absolutely not. This passage is for all men. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus is calling you and me to simply forgive. Why? Because that is exactly what he has done for us. He does not keep reminding us that we deserve death more than he does, more than he did. Jesus doesn't just come up to and point to us in the face and say, look, I'm not going to forgive you. No, that's not the mind of Christ. He went to the cross. He paid our penalty for sin when we didn't deserve it. Can I not forgive my brother? Instead, he made a way for us to be able to forgive by forgiving our offenses on the cross. God, who was wronged by us, canceled our debt and sent his son to pay the consequences, death. And he didn't just pay our debt. He set us free. He set us free. If we desire forgiveness, we must extend that kind of forgiveness to others. But canceling the debt and paying the consequences of others is just part of experiencing forgiveness. It is the part where we extend grace, and often it's the only part we ever hear about, and we are left with a huge load of pain that we don't know how to deal with. We try to forgive, but yet sometimes things don't always go away. I hear this comment over and over again. I say, I forgive this person. I forgive that person. But in all reality, many people don't forgive. They keep bringing it up. Next time you meet them, they bring up the same thing. And then the next time you meet them, they bring up the same thing. And yet they think that they have forgiven. This is where you will find that those who are able to forgive, but they lack the joy of the Lord. No one can take your pain away. You have to give it away. Give your pain to Jesus. He is the master healer. You have to own the fact that you were hurt, regardless of whose fault it is. It's not about creating sides. It's not about pointing fingers. But you simply have to own the fact that you have been hurt, regardless. If you ignore it and build walls in order not to get hurt, again, you only forfeit healing. The walls between you and the offender remains until you take personal responsibility to extend grace and forgiveness. God wants those walls to come down. Jesus invites us to give our pain to him. Matthew 11, maybe I'll just turn there. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verse 28, says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's what Jesus is inviting us to come to. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. All of you, all of us, who have had pain in our past, all of us who have been misunderstood, all of us who have had the filth of sin that has controlled us, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is what Jesus wants us to do today. When our pain hurts the most, give it to Jesus. Allow him into what you are feeling, and let him give you rest. Allow him to speak truth into your life. Allow him to identify what is the truth and what is a lie. Is it something that God would say to you? When we turn to Jesus, he is always ready and willing to extend and fill us with his love. We'll look at another passage here in John 8. I want to read John 8, 1 through 11. Feel free to turn there. But this is simply the account of the woman that was caught in adultery. A very familiar passage, but I believe it is a passage that shows true forgiveness and how Jesus handled that situation. So let's read here John 8, starting in at verse 1. And Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto her, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Then Jesus, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Now look at what Jesus says here. He says, Neither do I condemn thee. And he didn't stop there. He said, Go and sin no more. Did Jesus understand what kind of life she was living? Absolutely. She was living a life of debauchery and sin. She was living a filthy life. She had a very ugly past. But Jesus says, Look, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. In other words, you are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Follow me. The reason that so many never find healing is a couple things here, because of the wrong concept of God and who he really is. We don't always understand God's love or his will for us. We are not willing to release and forgive the offender. We want our relationships to be conditional instead of loving unconditionally. What kind of love did Jesus have what kind of love did Jesus show to us? Unconditional love. When we love each other unconditionally, what kind of forgiveness can we extend? It's the same kind of forgiveness Christ extends to us. We do not understand the power of love. Do you understand what love can do, what God's love does? We build walls to keep from getting hurt again. And those are simply reasons why we don't find healing or closure to things in our past. I really believe that at the very bottom of our pain is not so much the offender that we have a problem with as much as it is God himself. Sometimes we don't understand God. What are you doing? And we start blaming God for our circumstances. I really don't believe he loves me. Or do I? I hope we do. Can we understand the mind of God? Well, look here, Romans 11, 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Do we understand God? Here it says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We don't comprehend God like we should. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompense unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Do I understand the depth of who God is? Can I justify blaming God for what I've experienced? I know that he loves me, but I go about seeking acceptance from people. That is that is part of our old nature. We know in our head that God loves us, but why is it that so often we are looking for acceptance among people? What other people think of me becomes more important than what God thinks of me. I hope that's not our testimony this morning. I believe that when we come to the point that we care far more of what God thinks and far less of what people think, then is when we can experience healing and the fullness of his love. I think the first question that comes out of our minds should be, what does God think of what I'm going through? Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says this, The Lord hath appeared of old time unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Has the love of God changed? Has it changed from the old covenant? Has it changed from the beginning of time? No. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's the kind of God we serve, a God that cares deeply about you. He cares about relationship. Turn with me here to Romans 8. I want to read verse 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Romans 8, starting at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that our testimony this morning? Do the trials of life turn us away from God? Or are we able to look at God and say, regardless of what comes my way, I will serve you with all my heart, with everything that you have given me? When we get honest with God and are willing to work through our past, we find healing. But just because you find healing once doesn't mean that you won't have to forgive again. Forgiveness sometimes comes over and over again. Don't give up and never quit when it comes to making restitution. I want to read here 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 7, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I want to stop there before we go any further. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. God wants to take that piece of paper that has all those dirty, filthy marks on it. He wants to clean it. As we are in Christ Jesus, we can start anew. We can start with a clear slate. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But look at verse 18 again. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God cares about relationship. He has reconciled us to him. Why did he do that? Was it because we were righteous? Because we were holy? No. We were filthy. Isaiah says our righteousness was as filthy rags. That's how disgusting they were to God. But God is in the ministry of reconciliation. He wants us to bring us back to him. But then look at the last part of the verse. And it has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is what you are called to. That is what I am called to. We are given the ministry of reconciliation, bringing back together. God doesn't divide. He brings together. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow. God took this filthy being, this person, you and me, who are disgusting. Our righteousness was ugly. It was disgusting to him. And he has reconciled us to him. Christ became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now God can look at us as being righteous, holy, his children, his people. When we give our pain and our past to Jesus, what will he do with it? I want to read here Isaiah 61, verse 1, 1 through 3. In the same account, why don't we read it also in Luke chapter 4. I just want to read a number of verses there. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, starting in here at verse 18. Actually, I might back up to verse 16. It says, and he came, talking about Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now I want to jump over into Isaiah 61 and read verses 1 through 3. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That is what he came for. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So in Luke, we simply see where Jesus came in and says, today, this passage in Isaiah has been fulfilled. And we look at that passage and simply see what Christ came for. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That Jesus came to bring healing to you and me, to proclaim liberty to the captives. When we are bound by the chains of sin, Jesus came to set us free, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, to give unto them beauty for ashes. How much beauty can you get out of ashes? Not a whole lot. That's something that Christ can do. He can make something beautiful out of something that was disgusting. God can take your pain and turn it into passion. Think about what would happen if we allow God to turn our pain into passion. We would be proactive instead of reactive. What is our natural tendency when we are faced with hardship? Reactions, right? We react. But God can turn us into being proactive instead of reactive. We would be engaged in relationships instead of keeping a safe distance. Our families would experience a deeper intimacy. We would love as Jesus loves. We would be quick to forgive. And we would make a greater impact on the world. Are you willing to forgive? Am I willing to forgive? What will it cost us? Are you willing to allow God to use your pain to enhance his kingdom? What if the offender never understands what I went through? The choice is yours. Are we a people of God? Are we willing to forgive as Christ forgave us? Let's stand for a prayer here. So. Thank you, God, that you are a God of love. Thank you that you are a God of mercy. Thank you that you are a God that understands the deepest parts of our heart. Lord, I just pray a special blessing on each one of your children here today. Lord, I just pray that we would have hearts that are willing to look past what people have done against us, and that we would be willing to extend your forgiveness to them. Lord, I just pray that you'd minister to our needs today. Bless each one who came. We just pray that you'd bless the remainder of the service here. Help us, Father, to bring glory to your name, because you alone are worthy of all honor and glory and praise. So we just want to bless you today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.